fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts.
Several shots were fired as President Kennedy's motorcade passed through downtown Dallas.
None of us will ever forget this day, yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world.
Can you get to say again, please?
Oh, you're coming out of our
home. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Welcome to the Hagmann Daily Show, weekdays 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And now your hosts, Joe Hagmann and John Roberson.
Hello and welcome to this Tuesday, July 24th, 2018 edition of the Hagmann Daily Show. We got a lot to get into. We're going to be joined by Gonz Shimerna in maybe about a half hour, 25 minutes, a half hour, which is an addition John made this morning, and we are looking forward to that. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Both in the news and not so much in the front and center news. And we're going to talk about both. What's not really in the news is a story that's been circulating on the back alleys of the web, if you will, on the internet forums and on the chans and whatnot, is this story about Hollywood. Apparently a Hollywood insider is saying some names, is telling some stories. Now, I don't know the authenticity of this person. We've seen in the last few days a number of people, from Patton Oswalt to Michael Ian Black to James Gunn, who was fired from his role at Disney, go down or at least be exposed for supporting pedophilia. And this Hollywood insider is saying that there is a lot more to come. Now, Sarah Silverman, we talked about this on the show last night. John, did you get a chance to read that?
I to be honest with you, Joe, I started and I just wasn't in the right mood last night. I can't stand Sarah Silverman. I do appreciate you getting it over to me in the manner that you did, but I got to be honest with you, brother. I gave it a once over. So I'm going to, in all due honesty and respect, I'm going to hand it directly back to you.
Okay. Well, let's just do this. Let's go over what this person says real quick. First of all, Sarah Silverman is at the front and center of this. She is apparently attributed to saying, and there's a picture of her with text on her. She's holding her phone up, and it looks like she's taking a selfie with a camera while she's holding the phone up, that it has four big words in big letters on her phone. It says, "Stand the F down." And this is what the text underneath it says. "You think this is some sort of game. Do you not understand that you are effing with people's livelihoods here? These are real people's lives we're talking about. This is so wrong on so many levels. You all think you're so big and tough hiding behind a screen. You worthless, redneck, racist, inbred, you know, bleep, bleep, bleep. You have no idea who and what you are going up against." And in that regard, I think she's right. One thing you can't do is underestimate these people, especially when their backs are against the wall and they are desperate.
That's a good point, Joe.
To keep that exposed, and when they're desperate to keep their secrets hidden, and they have all the money and resources in the world, do you not think they will use them in order to keep their secrets? Absolutely, they will.
Anyway, Joe, they'll have you killed.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
But I think she underestimates, trying to take on the internet as a whole. I think, like Christianity, you know, you can kill, 100 of them, and then 1,000 more are going to pop up. That's just how this is. So, and she goes on, "Let me make something resoundingly clear to this cesspool and its inhabitants. You're not as all anonymous as you think you are. Far from it. What you're doing is tantamount to terrorism, and trust me, there will be serious repercussions." And the article goes on from there. Now, I don't know who wrote this. I don't know if I trust this person. But the only thing I can say, John, is you have a confirming piece of information from a completely separate source that, in his own way, verifies exactly what we're talking about here. Not with Sarah Silverman,
yes,
but with Hollywood, at least in general, being concerned about the coming exposure of a number of people. I'm hearing Tom Hanks is about to go down. Sarah Silverman might be exposed. And this Tom Hanks thing is interesting. There's a Twitter out there, Sarah Ruth Ashcraft, people who aren't suing me because I'm telling the truth, Twitter. So they can't. My fan, and then she goes on. Tom Hanks is one of those people, and apparently this lady claims to be his former sex slave. I don't know. That's what I'm reading into this.
Sarah Ruth Ashcroft. I have followed on Twitter for some time. She is part of a huge coterie, Joe, of people on Twitter who are really intensely about the whole pedo-gate topic. And this is not to – I'm not even sure I've directly communicated with Sarah Ruth Ashcroft, but we definitely follow each other. I'm not sure we've even DM'd, so I don't want to besmirch her or denigrate her because she does put out a lot of great tweets. A lot of stuff about medical kidnapping, a lot of stuff about the horror shows that happen in the 50 different states and their versions of Child Protective Services. So to give credit where credit's due. However, I would be remiss if I didn't make 2 points. Number one, I will not name a single name until my source contacts me. And the source that I have in Hollywood, and by the way, Joe, you know me. I hate doing this kind of 007, like trying to sound more... Let me just try to sound pretty important here right now. This is 00 Robertson coming your way.
Well, no, I mean, but look, people need to understand. You worked in Hollywood for over a decade. You have
almost 2 decades.
Many friends and people who, if you needed to contact or wanted to contact, you still have a good relationship with, and some people you
and
do
I have
talked
been.
To.
That's right, and I have been. I've actually been in contact with. I put an app on my phone. I'm not going to say which one, but I put an app on my phone that instantaneously connected me with a bunch of guys who I think I mentioned this to you on the show yesterday. There was a rumor that I was dead, which
because you left Hollywood.
Yeah, did I tell you that on the? I thought I told you that on the show yesterday. Yeah, there was a rumor that I had died, which I'm surprised really made it much past the grist mill because my brother
a Google search.
Well, that's a good point, but not only that. My brother, Aaron Robertson, is very much alive and currently working as a lead man in Portland, Oregon. In fact, he's probably in the top 2-3 lead men in the entire state of Oregon, up in local, I think that's local 480. But anyway, I'm digressing. There is, Joe, this is the important part, okay? I have a connection with an individual who works in finance, who is not a quote-unquote Hollywood guy, except that he is the silent money behind a number of films that many, many of our listeners have seen. And this is how this works, folks, just real quick. Very often, a silent investor will come into a film right at the outset, and they'll put out what's called an LOI, which is a letter of intent. And then they will put a given amount of money into an escrow account. And that when that first cash drop happens, that's when you're quote unquote green lit. OK, and then you begin to package a film. So long story short, let's say I'm a writer and I write a great script. And Joe, you're a director and you've got two great films under your belt. You've got an indie from 3 years ago and then you did one with a major studio last year. So you're a known named director. We happen to be friends. You love the script. Maybe you even helped work on it a little bit. So I attach you to the script and I say, okay, we are now looking for the money. John Robertson, known screenwriter with the following credits. Joe Hagman, known director, especially in the world of directors. You're as good as your last film. You know, came off this, you know, smoking summer blockbuster last year. We are shopping this around town. That's the nomenclature. And then often a silent investor will come in and they will drop a significant amount of money. When I say significant, you know, we're talking a real deal budget film. We're talking a drop of $2.5 to $5 million into an escrow account. That gets the film moving. That's when you can start to look for talent. And then what you start doing is you just start attaching people to the project. So we've got the writer, we've got the script, we've got the director. We're greenlit in the sense that we have a producer and we've got enough money to go into pre-production. Usually that silent investor will agree to a specific amount of money with a specific number, what we call points, attached on the back end. And all that means is, and in fact, I know a man who did this. I'm not going to say his name, but he did it with the Passion of the Christ. He put in $3 million at the beginning of the film. Because think about this, Joe. It's 2000, I think, late 2001, early 2002. The Passion came out in the spring. It came out at Easter time of 2004. Now imagine pre-Passion of the Christ. Hey, guys, I just wrote a script about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Does anybody want to make it? I mean, in Hollywood, that would be like a joke, okay? So they took it outside of Hollywood. They took it to England. They took it to Rome, and they gained a lot of traction in Italy, which is where they shot it too, by the way. But the crew that did We Were Soldiers, the Mel Gibson Vietnam movie, one of the best war movies, in my opinion, out there, that same crew in many cases did A Passion of the Christ, okay? So anyway, the point is, back to the money. A silent producer will say, I'm going to put in $3 million, but I'm taking X number of points on the back end. Now, the gentleman that I am acquainted with, he put $3 million into Passion of the Christ. And when it was all said and done, Joe, after foreign distribution receipts and everything was considered, he walked with just over $31 million. Okay, so he increased his investment 1,000-fold. Now, that's why people like the individual I'm referring to, who shall remain nameless, he's coming out. He's not going to be nameless forever. I was told by this individual 2 weeks ago to keep my powder dry, to be very careful about to whom I speak, particularly in Hollywood, New York, Vancouver, Toronto, all the film-centric areas. He said, keep your powder dry, keep your mouth shut. There's something big coming. And this investigation, this is almost a direct quote, this investigation is about to yield fruit, and it is going to make Kevin Spacey, Harvey Weinstein, and the hashtag MeToo movement look like romper room. Some very big names are going down. Now, this is not my opinion. This was told to me by one of these individuals who is in high finance, is a silent investor. This is the type of executive producer who in some cases, not often, but in some cases, Joe, might not even have their name attached to the project. Because basically, when you're talking a thousandfold return, they're really effectively doing it for the money. So this is anyway, that's who this individual is. His bona fides are impeccable. His Hollywood experience and connections so far supersede my own, like we're not even on the same planet. But the reason that this gentleman and I interact is because, number one, we trust each other. And number two, we both have a really serious passion for putting an end to the pedophilia sickness in Hollywood. Joe, I'm sorry I spent so much time talking. Now I'm going to hand it back to you.
No, that's good to clarify and to give the listeners some background as far as, you know, because that's where you came from before you were on Hagman Report, is Hollywood. And whether, you know, there's some questions as to whether this anonymous person, and I haven't published this on the website yet because we can't verify it. And there are names in here. And, you know, unless you want to set yourself up to get sued.
Not only that, but we can't publish any names because I could lose the bat phone connection I just got done describing. So yeah, we've got to remain dark. He promised me you're going to get a text, and he even told me, he's like, if you're willing to, I call it shake the Etch-a-Sketch, which means rearrange the calendar. And he adopted the term. He's like, listen, if you're willing to shake the Etch-a-Sketch, when I give you the word, I'll come on for half an hour or an hour, you know, like, post haste. So anyway, back to you, buddy.
Well, in this article, they've been updating this too, John, since we read this last night. They've attached examples as far as what Mike Cernovich has been doing. Mike Cernovich has been front and center on the James Gunn thing, and now they posted in this article, white supremacist work to get Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn fired. And this is what they're labeling Mike Cernovich, who's a Jewish lawyer, a white supremacist because he's exposing these people. And then they show examples of other celebrities defending James Gunn, saying, we need to give these people space to grow and learn from their past. Yes, he said some disgusting things, but
oh, that's such a
Mike Cernovich from the alt-right has weaponized the left's morality. He's not operating in good faith.
oh, I just threw up in my mouth. What the way that that quote that you just read about, we need to give these people room to grow and learn. That is so friggin' Hollywood, Joe.
It's the pedophile apologist.
That is the exact kind of euphemistic bullcrap that they, there's almost like a Hollywood speak. In fact, my first couple years in, back in like 01, 02, I thought about actually writing a Hollywood dictionary of terms, because there are as many unique terminologies as there are in the military. Okay. And the bottom line is, if you don't work on sets, you may know two or three of these. You may know, for example, that when something's wrapped, it's in the can, but you don't understand what it means when somebody says that so-and-so's in the bucket. Well, what that actually means is, from the sound department, it means they're echoing and we need to adjust their sound. They're in the bucket. So there's all this terminology, and what you just, that euphemization, that pedophile apologist garbage you just read, that is exactly how the higher ups in Hollywood speak. And I have a quick word on Cernovich as well, and I'll hand it back to you. I have never interacted personally with Mike Cernovich. He has retweeted a couple of my tweets over the whatever year and a half I've been on Twitter. He demanded a hashtag denounce Hollywood. I threw a picture up of a couple of my union cards, and I stated my name and your local union number, the whole thing. I said I denounce it. I hit that hashtag 6 months ago. So Cernovich and I are not really, we're mildly connected on Twitter, but this is what Mike Cernovich has got to know. And if anybody is connected with him and you can get this message to him, I'm told that he's a family man. He's a decent guy. He needs to remain very public, and he needs to disseminate his information. Now, if he's just jumped James Gunn because James Gunn's got the biggest target on his back, he took the place of this Joel Davis guy that we talked about yesterday, then Cernovich is okay. But Mike, I'm telling you something, brother. If you've got inside information, if you've got names, dates, etc., you've got to disseminate, and you've got to go public and stay public, or they will Breitbart you. It is that simple. And Joe, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to talk again like a tough guy or use hyperbole here, but let me be very clear. You can get killed a lot faster by crossing Hollywood than you can, for example, by crossing the government. Like the idea that, oh, you know, the deep state, the RoboCops are going to kick in your front door with flashbangs and they're going to assassinate you at 4 a.m. That kind of stuff does happen, but you're a whole lot more likely to catch a 9 milli that's got Hollywood's money behind it than you are anything from the government.
And that's a good point, John, because one thing we do know, you know, the deep state is they're more careful when these people, I mean, the deep state is been exposed and people either believe it or not. But this is a whole different story. When you're talking about this whole industry of Hollywood, this Hollywood entertainment industry, who has been, you know, the loudest voices of this me in the lecturing of the Me Too movement. And as this article says, the constant lecturing about secular sex ethics with this Me Too movement, why are these same people, so afraid and so angry at the exposure of pedophiles? What do they have to hide? And I'm not sure if it was Honeybee or Tracy Beans who initially said this, but I agree wholeheartedly, is that the Me Too movement came out at a very opportune time for Hollywood, because if you remember, that was in the middle of the whole Pizzagate scandal. And I think they used a few scapegoats like Harvey Weinstein and others to perpetrate this Me Too movement as the root of the problem. And they did that as a cover for the actual problem, which is the pedophilia, and to make it look like, you know, they're morally outraged. And, you know, you see people like Meryl Streep lecturing us on the abuse or the treatment of women when she supports Roman Polanski, a pedophile, a known pedophile who raped a child. And, you know, these people are definitely hiding something. But you make a good point, John. When these people, I mean, it's like a caged animal being up against the back of a wall. They only have one thing left to do, and that is to attack. And that's exactly what these people will do if their livelihoods, if their reputations are on the line.
A lot of them are not the brightest people, by the way. Okay. What it takes to get into Hollywood is it takes charisma and moxie. But it also takes a psychopathic or sociopathic mindset. I think Chris Duane, Sons of Liberty Academy on YouTube, did a great piece like 4 or 5 years ago about, the question was, do you have to be a psychopath to become president of the United States? Okay, now I don't want to get too far out in the weeds here, but the idea was how manipulative, how disregarding of others' feelings must you be to get to the highest echelon of politics? Well, I will take that template as laid out by Chris Duane, a good friend of Sean over at SGT Report, by the way. I will take that template and superimpose it over Hollywood. You don't have to be the brightest bulb in the tree to be a big shot in Hollywood. You've got to be manipulative, charismatic. You've got to definitely know when it's jump time. It doesn't hurt to have what they call your FU money. Basically, what that means is you've made enough money on one or two projects that even if a project you're signed on to goes completely south, you've got your FU money, which means you can walk in, slam the table, slam the chair and say, F you, I'm out of here. And you've got your 20, 30 mil in the bank, so you're going to be okay till the next project. These people, a lot of these people, and remember the history that I've mapped out many times, Joe, on a lot of these public platforms. Hollywood was built by cutthroats. Hollywood was built by East Coast, Lower East Side, Hell's Kitchen type young Jewish entrepreneurial kids, many of whom were fatherless. And at a time in this country's culture, at a cross section of culture where politically the progressives were trying to change the world overnight, it was the midst of the beginnings of Prohibition and the gangster era, electricity, steam. I mean, this was just a real massive cross culture, this intersection where these kids came from. But I'm telling you what, you look at the Louis B. Mayers, you look at the Adolf Zuckers, you look at the Max Sinnott types who came west from New York City and started Hollywood, it hasn't changed. These people, they know how to push buttons and make things happen. And I'm telling you, Joe, when I ran afoul of Hollywood on the Hagman Report, and I punched it up with a few pieces on Caravan to Midnight as well, when that happened, you know fully well, because we used to talk on the phone from time to time. I was the opposite of Cernovich. I didn't have a public platform. Mike Cernovich is a very highly public figure. So his public persona will protect him. And as an attorney, I'm sure he's got very good advisors around him, giving him hopefully the same advice I am, which is public, public, public. Now, see, I was the opposite.
Let's be honest. If these people want to kill you or any of us, if they really intend on doing it, they're going to do it regardless of who you are.
They're going to get you. They're going to get you. And it's a sad statement of where we're at as a society. But frankly, Joe, to wrap this up, and thank you for giving me so much mic time the first half of today. We've got Gons coming in, and I'm really excited to hear from Gons Shamira, Face Like the Sun. I don't know about you, Joe. I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but I'm really thrilled to have him coming on in.
Well, yeah, and you know, I guess before we bring him on, other news of the day, the tensions in the Middle East continue as Israel has been launching an offensive against Gaza since Friday, but now it's the main headline on Drudge. Israel downs Syrian warplane, and we continue to see the tensions in the Middle East build up, and you know, what's going to happen with this? Well, and how prophetic is this? It's definitely something that we need to follow, but Assad is still in power, and there's no indication that his grip on power, even after this horrific civil war that his country has been brought into, you know, by the deep state, the manufactured terrorist groups like ISIS, which were backed by our government as well, war-torn countries or war-torn nations of Syria, even in the midst of that attack, there was no indication that he was going to lose power. And it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case now. So as we see this tit-for-tat, you know, Israel shoots down a Syrian warplane and on and on and on. I mean, this is just going to continue to be like this until there's an escalation or a de-escalation in the conflict. So, I mean, we follow the news, we follow the headlines, but, you know, this is, for whatever reason, that whole region, you know, it's biblical, but it's war-torn right now, and we're going to continue to see headlines like this as we move forward. So just as I said, something to keep an eye on, but I would say not out of the ordinary for what we've been seeing in the Middle East over the last 5 to 10 years. Now, I'm going to bring Gons on. What's his Face Like the Sun, right? That's his.
Having spent time with him in Spokane, his face really is like the sun. The man, he radiates the spirit of Christ. No, really, in all seriousness, Honeybee the Liberty columnist and myself, we got to hang out with Gons for like 2 or 3 days. And Joe, I'm telling you, man, you just instantly like the guy. I mean, he's laid back. He's cool. He's smart. He's funny. He's just a chill dude. I'm really grateful to the Lord that that I got to become acquainted with Gons Shimura. He's just a cool dude.
Yeah. Wait a second. Hold on. Okay, so we're going to hear this annoying Skype noise, which I can't shut down for whatever reason. Okay. And excuse me, these stupid prompts. You can be connected to only one call at a time. Do you want to hang up the current call? What are you talking about, Skype? No, I don't want it. Peter was right. You know, the what they did to Skype here. Okay, I can add this way. What they did to Skype is really dumb it down. And
they really did. There's a point, listeners, where you've built like the perfect machine or you've built a great car. So just chill out. People do this with software all the time. Well, we've got to advance. We've got to go to 10.3, 10.4. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes 10.3 is working great. And all these new bells and whistles on Skype are annoying. Shall I send Gons a smoke signal?
Well, no, I just called him. I don't know if he's on or not. I don't hear it ring.
Let me see if I can add him here.
Let me see. Okay, so go to call.
So
okay, wait. Let's see here.
Okay, so up in your top right, Joe, you've got that little circle with the person and the plus sign.
Yes, I'm doing that.
Should be next to my beautiful face.
All right. Okay, so apparently, yeah, I don't like this Skype. This Skype is really something else. And all right, let me see. What did I do here? Yeah, I see the add the person. Now it's not bringing up his name when I do this.
So, okay, so I just texted him. Bear with us, listeners. I just texted him just to double check that in case you need to punch his Skype in.
Yeah, if you can text him, tell him to call me. Tell him Joe, to call our Skype.
Okay, I'm just going to ask him to call in, okay? Call in to and your Skype, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I am covering that right now.
Thanks, John. I don't know.
Not a problem. In fact, you know what? Take it for 90 seconds, Joe. Hit a piece of news. I need to make sure we get Gons.
Okay, yeah, now, okay, here, he's calling.
Oh,
answering
great. Well,
this call will place your active call on hold. Oh my gosh. All right. You know.
Well, bring in Gons, and if it cuts me out, then I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Oh my goodness. You want me to do that? Seriously?
Yeah. If we can't three-way it, I mean, I don't.
Let me try this a different way. It's like I go to hit add call, and it's like he was removed from my contacts. It's the weirdest thing.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to talk to Gons. Just hang loose, Joe. Give people a piece of news. Okay, I just got a really funny text from Gons.
If I could punch Skype in the face, I would definitely do that.
Here's what we're going to do. I am actually... folks, this is what you get. This is the down and dirty side of broadcasting. I am just asking Gons to he's got a baby issue. An actual little baby. He's got a baby issue. We'll leave it at that. So I'm just asking him to please call my cell when he's finished. It looks like we'll have more like 15 minutes with Gons Shimura today. And our apologies, listeners. The bottom line is Skype. Quote unquote upgraded, what, about 7-8 days ago, Joe?
I wouldn't call it an upgrade, but yeah.
No, I wouldn't. You're right. I'm being kind. It's a major pain in the butt is what it is. And something as simple as bringing a third party on, and Joe, you and I have been on many Skype calls where there's 5 or 6 of us.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we cannot bring, it doesn't matter if it's Gon Shimura or Pastor David Langford. We can't bring him in. Or apparently the current call, I guess what, drops off or something? I mean, whatever.
No, okay, well, see, this is the thing. I added him to something, but it didn't call him. And now he's not in my contacts anymore. And when I go to add him to the call, his name doesn't come up.
I'm texting you his Skype right now.
Yeah, no, I have it. I just, and we're connected. But Skype is just not recognizing it. And, you know, they, as Peter said yesterday, I have not had time to sit down and play with this new Skype update. But from what I see, they have really dumbed it down. And
they've messed it up big time. Now that you mention it, Joe, I actually manned the spaceship for a couple minutes while Eric, Peter was a good 10 minutes late last night. And he and Eric, I'm sitting at this, for all the listeners who care about any of this, I'm sitting at what we call the spaceship, which is where Wirecast is, and that's where all the Macs, the big iMacs are, and it's what powers the show. And Eric taught me, and Joe knows how to do it too. It's fun. He's taught us how to edit to jump from one screen to the next, so you got Doug, then Joe, then Doug, then Joe, then the guest, and what have you. So I will sit in from time to time and basically just be the mouse clicker. So I'm mouse clicking last night, but I can see on one of the MacBooks what is happening between Peter and Tech Eric, and neither one of them look happy. Okay, I mean, you can see that there's frustration. Cheeks are getting pink. Cell phones are the hands are starting to shake. Cell phones are people are punching numbers on the cell phone like they're trying to put their finger through the phone. I mean, it was really a mess trying to bring Peter Barry Chaka on last night. But Joe, while we're waiting for Gons, let's take just 60 seconds and talk quickly about that debut guest we had on last night, Gina Jernukian. What an interesting 30 minutes that was.
Well, yeah, it was. And she has an organization that unbrands people who have been branded by sexual cults or like Nexium. And, you know, I didn't know that this was that prevalent or that much of a thing. I guess I understand the mentality behind it. But,
honestly, I didn't either, Joe.
Yeah, I guess I didn't see the need, or I guess I didn't understand the need for somebody to be out there to unbrand these people who have been literally like a cattle prod branded as some sort of property. And she described how, say you're, you could have multiple brandings depending on how, you know, if you're sold, if you're in sex slavery, and these sexual cults that are out there. It must be a much, I mean, you hear stories like R. Kelly. He's got his own little sex cult. You got all these weird celebrities that have, these, I guess, terrible habits, these awful things where they abuse other people. And it is a real problem. And that Allison Mack, who was one of the main defendants now in this Nexium case, is being charged with child trafficking, which is underplayed in the news and not really talked about. And why is it? And this is a question that we ask about everything else, so why not this? What is with the news media and their willingness to cover up, my gosh, excuse me, to cover up, whether it's the crimes of the deep state and the Obama administration and the FBI and DOJ and their conspiracy against Trump, to Pizzagate, to pedophilia in Hollywood? What's this incestuous relationship between the media and Hollywood? Well, I'll tell you exactly what it is. They're one in the same industry. The people who you see on TV, on mainstream news networks, are paid millions of dollars to read propaganda from a teleprompter that is written by these think tanks who are running the propaganda wing of the deep state. And just like a movie, you get paid to play a role, to read a script on camera. That's no different from what the media is doing now. They're no longer independent. They're no longer people who are after a truth or after the truth. These people are there to cover up the truth and to spread lies and disinformation. And this has changed. I mean, maybe that's always been that way to some extent, but it's really changed over the last 5 to 10 years, where they have openly sided with the pedophiles, openly sided with the evil of this world. And it makes you wonder, you know, why? What's their involvement in all this? And I believe that, much like we're going to hear about these name drops of actors and actresses who are engaged in these type of activities, whether with children or sex cults or whatever, you're going to see some news people and their involvement in this, I believe, is
yes,
just as
you
bad.
Are. Yeah, you know, I Joe, I'm telling you what, the one of the hardest. Okay, first of all, Gons Shemura, quickly. I just spoke with Gons. He's doing great. He wishes everybody on the Hagmann Daily Show a wonderful day today. I have rescheduled him for Thursday. Gons has not updated his Skype to the one that we're dealing with now. And of course he can do that, but by the time he does it, reboots, et cetera, we've lost almost all of his talk time. So Gons Chimera, Face Like the Sun. For any of our listeners who are not familiar with Gons, go to Face Like the Sun on YouTube and, man, brew a pot of coffee, grab a cat, grab your dog. You can spend, Joe, you can attest to this, you can spend hours with the work that Gons Chimera does. He is truly a great heart for Christ, but also just a great mind.
Yeah. So, no, he is. He does have a great mind. And again, his YouTube channel, Face Like the Sun.
He will join us Thursday, Joe.
Great content. If you have, if you want to play something in the background while you're doing dishes or cleaning or whatever it is that you're doing, that is a great channel to play. But also, it's great if you're sitting there intent, paying attention and taking notes.
And taking notes, absolutely. Now, Joe, let me just grab a quick comment on what you were saying as I came back in after speaking briefly with our friend Gons Chimera. As I said yesterday, and I want to, this is a warning to all of our listeners, and please, folks, this is as sincere and heartfelt as I can make it. Understand that all the roads, all of them, whether you're a Wall Street shark or a DC swamp monster or a Hollywood shyster or a Vegas high roller or a Miami Beach coke dealer, whatever high rolling, Jay-Z type lifestyle you're living, whatever kind of Instagram you're rolling, at the end of the day, the people that control the power echelons, not all of them, but many of them, have given themselves over to an actual worship of Satan. Now, I know most of our listeners know this, but I'm going to connect the dots, Joe, because it's so important, because we're talking about protecting our listeners' lives and souls. When you start to push back against what we call pedogate, okay, when you start to retweet hashtag James Gunn or hashtag Brian Singer or some of the stuff that I tweet out, be advised that you are, granted, to a minor extent, but you are going into the devil's chamber and you're punching him in the nose, because the rape, the abuse, the torture, the consuming of adrenochrome, the consuming of the flesh of the defenseless, which again goes all the way back to the Babylonians, Joe. We've heard everybody from yourself to Doc Marquis discuss this for years on the Hagman Report. Unfortunately, this stuff has been around for millennia. It's in the Bible in a lot of places. So understand that this is not a terrestrial fight where we're going to get the FBI and we're going to get Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, and we're going to somehow stop pedophilia. No, this is a spiritual brawl writ large. This is the blowout. This is D-Day. Okay, this is seriously. This is like we're in the boats coming ashore, and we got a lot of MG42s pointed at us. That's what this is all about, because the sacrifice of the young, as written in the 1920s through the 1940s by Aleister Crowley, he wrote, and this is almost a direct quote, that one of the most pleasing sacrifices to Satan is a young boy, preferably under 3 years of age. I mean, that's right out of his writings. Unfortunately, I had to memorize the garbage to do some of my shows a few years back. But look, Joe, this pedophilia thing is not going to be fought and won on Twitter. With no offense to Craig Sawyer, who I love like a brother, I mean, I would take a bullet for the guy, but it's not going to be fought and won by Vets for Child Rescue. It's going to be fought and won in the throne room of the Almighty. That's the only place that this battle is really going to go down.
And that's very well said, John, and very accurate, because we sometimes forget those components of these battles that we find ourselves in or facing. And you said it perfectly. You're going into the you're going into the devil's house and basically calling him out. So you need to be tread lightly. Now, in the same thread, I don't know if you've got a chance. I know you've been following Lionel's work for a while, but he put up a new video.
Yeah, I actually got a couple of shout outs the other day, if you can believe that.
Holly Weird is making the biggest. Let's see. I got to open this video up to see the whole title. But basically, it's saying Hollywood is making the biggest mistake by defending. Okay, in defending James Gunn, America won't forget. And he, you know, posted this, just for people out there, yesterday.
You'll like this. I got a couple shout-outs on Lionel. And to be perfectly honest, it's easy to do. If you, what do they call it, super chat or whatever, him, then you get the shout out for sure. So so you drop a couple bucks on the Lionel channel, and then you get to say your pithy comment, and a few thousand people hear it live or whatever. And I said, citizen journalists, comma, facts, please stop smoking the hopium. And Lionel really, and Joe, of course, you created that word as far as I know, but Lionel really liked that hopium thing. And then the other thing I dropped in the same conversation, this was on, I believe, Sunday morning, was remember, hashtag James Gunn, remember, you, every single one of you, hold the box office power. See, these people are powerless. First of all, again, I want to reiterate, Hollywood is run by a bunch of reprobates. Hollywood is not rocket science, okay? Hollywood is a manipulative, cutthroat. Many of the unions, including my own union, the International Alliance of Theatrical and Stage Employees, I was an affiliated property craft person's local 44. And for all of you naysayers, my union number was 10603. So go pound sand. But anyway, it was started as a money laundering scheme, much of it. So my point is, these people are, they can be incredibly dangerous, incredibly vindictive. And I'm telling you, Joe, I see a demonic spirit on Sarah Silverman. I see a demonic spirit on Whoopi Goldberg, much the same as I saw a demonic spirit on Hillary Rodham Clinton throughout the 2016 campaign.
Well, yeah, and to defend the indefensible, to defend the pedophiles, to defend the people who are committing these atrocious acts is terrible, and it is not going to go unnoticed. You know, by when, if and when this information drops, you know, these people like Sarah Silverman will be outed for exactly what they are, which is, you know, part of the problem. And what we do with people like that, after everything comes out, you know, probably nothing. They'll probably, you know, just stay silent, continue their activities, and resume their Hollywood career. You know, they'll just take like a small leave of absence for a few months, and that's the way of the world, unfortunately. Kind of like what we see with the DC political establishment. We have this whole conspiracy against Donald Trump and for Hillary Clinton uncovered, and all the evidence that we need. Yet many of these people still have jobs. Many of these people still have their security clearances. They're still getting a pension. They're not in jail. Why is that? And it's because I believe if these people got caught at what they were doing, the other side plays their games too. And they want these people to remember next time they're caught playing their own games that, you know, they went easy on them. So, I mean, it basically, Washington, D.C. is a cesspool of corruption, much like Hollywood is. And it's not a question of you know, doing illegal activities, because that's the norm. The question is being able to keep it under wraps and put a lid on it until you, unless you get exposed, which is what these people fear the most, exposure. And it is, you know, as we talked about, very dangerous to go around name dropping. But just for people who are interested, who want to read what it is we're referring to, there, this site, I have no idea what this is. It's called neorevolt.com, and this is where I found this article.
Okay, and I've read this. Hold on a sec. I've read this, so let's just do a quick disclaimer. This is from Neo Revolt. We're just going to go verbatim, right, Joe?
Right. Okay. And it's Hollywood Renegades, how Hollywood insiders are taking the cabal from the inside out. Hollywood's the Great Awakening. And one of the things I find interesting, the only name I'll drop, and I've held this personal belief, and I don't know how many people, other people feel this way, but Michael Jackson, he was the subject of a lot of pedophilia, trying to link him to pedophilia. And I've always believed that he has never been guilty of that, that he was always innocent. And that's one thing that is mentioned in this article. Now, again, this is not confirmed. This is, I don't know if this is true or not. But they say that no, he was, he tried to protect people like that, who were, victims of that, because he went through it himself. And apparently his father was, pretty guilty when it comes to what, this whole pedophilia thing from these sources.
I'm inclined. I apologize. We have a little bit of skippity doo going on here. But I'm inclined. I want to get listeners to check in with us. A lot of Hagman Daily Show listeners, they DM me on Twitter. So that's a really fast way to get to Joe or myself, at Roberson John. Or you can email us. JoeHagman@yahoo.com is a good one. But check in with us on this specific topic. Michael Jackson, guilty of pedophilia or not? It's that simple. I want to hear from listeners, please. We'll talk about this later in the week. But Joe, as crazy as all the evidence and as creepy as the Neverland environment, which still exists today, it's got that kind of creepy, dilapidated amusement park kind of feel to it now. But in spite of all of that, I have a funny feeling in my gut, just like you, that Michael Jackson was innocent of actual pedophilia.
Yeah, I think he was a victim of it when he was a kid. And we learned, just a few weeks ago that he was given substances to keep him from hitting puberty, to keep his father wanted to keep his voice from going through puberty. So he was given like anti-aging or basically it stunted his growth. And I think that had a lot to do with the way and how, you know, what happened to him, the way he was treated. I think that has a lot to do with the way he turned out. But I never believed that Michael Jackson, was he very weird? Did he have a weird affection for children? Absolutely. But what if he wasn't a pedophile? What if he actually, with a pure heart, was trying to protect them? And Corey Feldman actually talked about that. Corey Feldman was asked, he spent a lot of time with Michael Jackson when he was a kid, when he was going through his own being a victim of this pedophilia. And he stated without any shadow of a doubt that Michael Jackson not only never was inappropriate with him, but was a very good friend and basically a protector. A safe place, a haven to go to when this stuff was happening. And I found that very interesting too. So I guess the question is this article, John, is the information in this article accurate, or is somebody, I tend to believe it is, but we can't just take our beliefs, and run with them.
Joe.
But in my experience, I don't think this is, I don't believe the Q stuff. And when I say I don't believe it, it's not that I don't agree with the message or I don't agree with the information that's being put out. I don't agree with the way it's being done, and I don't agree with a lot of what he said. Because if people remember, he started out by talking about Hillary Clinton and John Podesta being detained and arrested and going to Guantanamo Bay and having ankle monitors on. And it was all this stuff that was been proven not to be true. But somehow that is lost on all these people who follow him. And saying things like disinformation is necessary, and the public is only going to get to see we got to keep 60% of this hidden because the public can't handle it. All these it's an apologist. So at the same time that he's dropping truth, which in my opinion, giving people a bunch of riddles and weird half sentences is not dropping truth. A much better job could be done. There's this huge cult following around him. And these people, as Peter Chalka said yesterday, if you don't agree wholeheartedly with everything that this Q and his followers say, you're basically, equivalent to Hillary Clinton in their eyes. So, but for whatever reason, this rings very true to me. Now, I don't know about the names in here, but there are some names that are dropped, and again, Sarah Silverman addressing the people going after James Gunn, the Mike Cernoviches, the people on Twitter. Why would she do that as the article? And remember, Sarah Silverman said this: "I hope the Jews did kill Christ. I'd do it again if I could. I'd effing do it again. I don't care." She also dated Jimmy Kimmel. And why would you put yourself in this position?
And that's she's demonically possessed.
I mean, by putting out what she did, doesn't it say basically that she's involved in this to some degree?
Absolutely. Joe, I'm going to just we've got about 7 minutes left, something like that. And I want to remind people.
We got about 10 minutes.
Okay, I want to remind our listeners what we're dealing with here. And it's really simple, but we've got to be reminded of this over and over again. Okay. And I'm going to just quickly read from Ephesians chapter 6, and then we're going to go real fast and I'm going to give it back to you. But this is what you must have. If you want to get in the pedo-gate fight, all of you listeners, whether you want to get on Twitter, start blogging, call into a talk show, get involved in a local chapter, or get involved with somebody like our guest last night, Gina Jernukian, who removes tattoos and branding from victims. Wherever you want to take your fight, you got to do this first. And this is the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10 from the ESV. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Folks, we are in the evil day right now, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's why I'm dropping the word of God on the Daily Show right now, and I'm almost done. Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Now, that is, please, listeners, don't even throw the first punch unless you understand what I just read, Joe.
Very good, John, and thank you for reading that, because it is so important that people understand the battle that they are in. And you said it best earlier, you know, all this starts in the spiritual realm. So make sure that you are, in your faith, actively in your faith, and you're prayed up when you get into this. Because this is, I mean, a lot of people can't even read these articles that, don't even describe. I mean, they just basically mention it or reference what is happening, and that is enough to make people freak out. I mean, we have this culture where, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, speak all the evil, where people want to they want to have their vulgarity in their music and in their entertainment and their TV shows, but when it is actual real things happening in real life, they turn their back on it because it's too real for them. You know, they're used to the world of make-believe, and whether they don't want to handle it or admit it, or they can't handle it. And whatever it is that turns people off to this kind of information is very active. And we see, no matter what level of exposure we get, even if the mainstream media bought hook, line, and sinker into, we'll say, the Pizzagate, how many people still would refuse to believe it? I think it's pretty high. excuse me. I think I'm getting over a cold. I keep coughing. I've been coughing the last.
Yeah, you've sounded a little snurfly the last couple of days, Joe.
I apologize for coughing on air. I can't get to the mute button fast enough.
You've made some excellent points throughout the course of this discussion today, and listeners, I want to advise all of you: we didn't pregame planning on talking. In fact, to be honest, Joe, I don't think you mind me telling the listeners this: pedophilia, child trafficking. All of it. Joe and I hate talking about it. We least favorite topic. When we're driving around together in the car, or we're going out to the store or get a bite or something, we cut each other off regularly and be like, you know what, dude, enough. I can't take it. And Joe, I want to tell you something, man, from the heart. I'll make this my final comment. When we had Matt Valentinus from An Open Secret on about 4 or 5 months ago on the Hagman Report, for all of our listeners, we sit in kind of a bullpen environment, okay? And as I listened to Matt, my heart was breaking, because I thought about all of these moments standing on all these different sets at Warner Brothers, at Disney, at Paramount, at Sony. And I thought about these young people that I worked with and their strange demeanors and this weird spirit, this thing that I couldn't put my finger on back then because I didn't know. And Joe, it broke my heart and it nauseated me. So listeners, it's really hard for us to throw down shows like this. And Joe, I'll give it back to you and I'll make that my last comment for today.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen times where, you know, setting up shows, talking about this very thing have resulted in technological glitches, anger from certain people out of nowhere, just very odd indicators that you're trying to be hindered, at least in the by the spiritual realm. And you know, we did not plan on talking about this, John. We talked a little bit off air you know, before we started, but we did not get into what we were going to discuss on the show. And you know, it's very interesting to see this unfold. But again, the insider, the Anon, is he telling the truth? I believe so. We will soon see, according to your source and according to other people, the public exposure on this is going to be quick. I mean, we're talking before the summer's over. So it is very it's something to bookmark on your computer, put it in a special file. You know, I create new files all the time in my bookmarks. I'll you know, today's news I'll use, where I'm emptying it and filling it up each day depending on the news cycle you know, research or following stories. I'll create lots of folders like that. Create a folder like that. Park this away until we hear more about it, whether it's confirmed or denied. And then go back and check the accuracy of the original post of this person who's talking about, you know, the exposure that's coming. And it is, I mean, look at the internet. It can be used for so many terrible things, like child pornography, like, you know, the dark web and everything that we see there, and all the hatred that we have, we see exposed on the internet. But it can be used for good if people would, with the abilities, do so. And unfortunately, most of the people with the technological capabilities and the companies like the Facebooks, the Twitters, and the YouTubes, etc., obviously are on the side of the media, on the side of Hollywood, and they are not, you know, these white hats that are going to help expose it. But one person who I would say is Julian Assange, and he is not going to be staying at the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK.
He can come live at my house.
Giving him the boot. Now, it's being reported on Twitter.
I'd sleep on the sofa. I would, seriously. Julian Assange can come live at my house, and he can sleep with the cats in my air-conditioned bedroom. I'll take the sofa.
Well, see, this is the thing. I've read some articles, and I don't know if it's because of his state of mind and where he lives, but I remember reading an article that said he didn't, his hygiene was bad. His personal hygiene was bad. I don't know if that was just something to, you know, insult him, if that was the media's attempt at an insult, or if that's the truth.
He can stay at your house. He can stay. You have a bigger house, Joe.
Yeah. But okay, so it's being reported that he's going to be kicked out of the Ecuadorian embassy in the very near future here. And we are hearing rumors now. I have not confirmed this, but Dr. Janda mentioned this on the show last night, that it's very possible that he could be extradited to the United States and could be given some kind of pardon by Trump. I say create a new branch of the government, the Internet Communications Czar, and put him at the head of that, you know, to regulate Facebook and Google and YouTube and all these companies with their censorship and their algorithms and whatnot. I'm not saying I hate the idea of expanding the government in any way, but if we were to, I guess he would be a good fit for a position like that. And don't forget, Bradley Manning. I will not call that person Chelsea. Bradley Manning. He was a person who leaked a whole ton of information. What did Julian Assange do? He leaked some information too. But see, for whatever reason, Manning got a pass from the Obama administration and got a pardon, basically commuting a life sentence, where Assange, because he took up the mantle and fought against Hillary Clinton, because he's exposing the CIA and these other, whether out of self-interest or as a whole, the interest of our community as a whole, he has been targeted. Now, his only hope is that President Trump would pardon him. And I don't know that he would do that, but for Julian Assange's sake, I hope that's true. And we all know there was some falsified rape charges in Sweden that were dropped a long time ago. That's why he's in Ecuador and embassy. Anyway, we're out of time. We'll pick this up tomorrow. Have a great day.
The Hagman Daily Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report. Tune in to The Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.